Hey everyone, I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, I have a very important program for you today, one that you will really want to listen to. Studies show that parental conflict and parental alienation negatively affect both children's and parents' well-being. And parental alienation is where one parent damages, destroys, or severs the relationship between a child and the other parent. And there are about 22 million, and yes, listeners, I said million, parents and children who battle parental alienation in the United States alone. And today's program is all about the effects of parental alienation and parental conflict on children's and parents' well-being. My guests today are Jane Irvine and Margaret Olnick. Jane is a board-certified counselor and mediator who has over 35 years' experience working with families troubled by change, trauma, stress, and court interventions. She works with both parents and children to diffuse conflict, and her website is janeirvine-ma-lpc.com. Margaret Olnick, my second guest, has over 25 years' experience as an attorney, representing clients primarily in the area of divorce and child custody. She is also a certified divorce coach available to assist clients nationwide with their divorce issues. And her website is margaretolnick.com. So welcome to the program, Jane and Margaret. So great to have you with us today.
Thank you, Terry. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Absolutely. So, Jane, let's start with you. Tell us briefly about your background and what types of clients you see.
I started out as a family lawyer in England. And all of my career, I have worked with clients going through divorce or dealing with the consequences of divorce. So I see children. I see children from 6 through 96. I work with parents. I work with parents together. I work with parents separately. So my clients are based in that conflict arena around separation and parenting.
And so when you're talking about your clients then, Jane, give us an idea of parental alienation or dealing with parental conflict and what that does to the parents.
When we're dealing with conflict, conflict takes a variety of forms, and the form that's described as alienation is one of the forms of conflict that we see. Parental conflict ranges for its causes through a variety, but the impact are often very similar, particularly on children, which is damaging to their stress responses. Parental alienation itself is a specific family dysfunction, the consequence of which is that children resist or refuse to see one of their parents.
I see. So they're both under sort of the umbrella of parental conflict. And they both have effects on children in terms of their stress responses. So when stress occurs, they're not able to handle it well or constructively.
That's right. And both children and adults really suffer when they are subjected to ongoing stress. And for children, parental conflict produces the impact of ongoing stress. Mm-hmm. And in adults, the parental conflict associated with alienation and alienating behaviors can produce a heightened impact of stress and trauma, which has some pretty specific psychological and physical impacts.
Okay, and I want to talk more about the effects, but I want to get Margaret into the discussion. So, Margaret, tell us about your background and what types of clients you see.
Sure. I've been an attorney for over 25 years in Colorado, but I specialized primarily in family law. Recently, I became certified a couple of years ago as a divorce coach. So I have stopped litigating now, and I coach people through the divorce process from deciding whether or not to get a divorce to getting organized prior to the divorce. And I also coach on post-divorce issues, which tend to be largely parenting issues like we're discussing today. I also am teaching family law to law students, and I include parental alienation in my curriculum now.
That's good. So you both have very similar backgrounds, being lawyers or attorneys, and moving into actually one-on-one helping with the divorce process.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah.
And do you work, Margaret, with children and parents as well?
No, I work primarily with parents.
Okay. Yes. And so tell us then, what are the effects of parental alienation for parents? Let's start there. Or what does it feel like to be an alienated parent?
Sure. I would say it feels like total devastation. You could compare it to how you would feel if your child died. These are parents who are, you know, generally aware of the behavior of their ex-partner, and they're coupling that with actually witnessing what is possibly, the slow loss of their relationship with their own child. Sometimes it occurs over a period of years. They are generally at a loss of how to prevent it from happening or how to prove it in court. Mm-hmm. They can become paralyzed. They don't know how to assist their lawyers in the case. Their lawyers may not know how to present these issues, or they just can't afford a lawyer or their lawyer's fees. I would say with regard to what's happening with their child, sometimes they feel like they're walking on eggshells around their child because their child's anger towards them starts to escalate over time. These parents are overwhelmed. They feel entirely helpless. And oftentimes they're suicidal, especially after there has been a break, in their relationship with their child when they're not seeing them at all. They have a very hard time functioning. I would say that the trauma to the parent is so extreme, and some are enduring it for years and years. Mm-hmm. We talk about it in terms of it being a form of unresolved grief. And unresolved grief means, we talk about that because the child is still alive. They just cannot talk to their child or see their child or hold their child. So that's what these parents are going through. And some of them give up.
Right. And that is a situation where they give up hope in connecting with their child or their children. And I have seen many clients as well, Margaret, in that situation. And even as you were saying it, I just felt the grief myself because it's so devastating. We know that parents and children, the parents want to be with their children and they can't. So as a coach, what do you do with these parents? How do you help these parents?
Well, I work on certain strategies to help them deal with the situation. Some of them seem pretty straightforward, and yet a lot of people aren't sort of checking the boxes. First, I would want them to understand in detail how each court order in their case works or every parenting provision, and that these parents must follow those things to the letter. And the second thing would be to give them training on proper communication strategies with the other parent. Sometimes that can solve a lot of problems. I talk to them about incorporating all the feedback that they have gotten on their own parenting styles. So unlike married parents or parents who are living together, these parents don't have that luxury of just being a normal parent with normal parent problems. These parents need to be the best possible parent that they can. Mm-hmm. To try to deflect off, you know, some of the accusations of the other side. And also I talked to them about court being the last resort. A lot of clients look to their lawyer or their judge to solve their problem. They think the court should solve it. But first they need to figure out what they can do on their own first. And if all of that fails, then the judge is there to enforce the court order against the other parent, and the court also has the power to change the parenting plan, you know, if the parent can bring a case, you know, demonstrating these behaviors that are inflicting harm on the child.
Mm-hmm. And so before the court, as a last resource, should they reach out to the child or children as well?
Yeah, so there's some strategies in terms of dealing with that. In terms of, I kind of have some rules of communication with your child if you're not having contact with the child. Right. As we talked about, the parent is so, you know, they're feeling needy and they want their child, and sometimes they make the mistake of telling their child how awful they feel and that they miss them, and they really can't do that in communications with their child. They simply have to follow. They should, you know, send regular, you know, once a week at least, or a phone call with leaving messages saying, you know, I love you and I hope you're well. I'm thinking of you. And you can remind them of things that you've done together if it's that time, you know, period. If it's Christmas, I'm recalling that last Christmas when we, you know, made the hot chocolate and, you know, to engage their senses. But you really can't talk about to your child the impact of the situation on you, which is sometimes very difficult for parents to do.
Very difficult. And does this matter the age of the child, Margaret?
Well, you always want to have age-appropriate communications with your child, but with a younger child, you're going to... What do you mean?
Let's say it's an adult. Let's say, you know, mm-hmm. I have a child or children who are in their 20s and 30s,
yes.
and they're living on their own, so they're not living with the other parent. Should I still not tell them about how this situation is impacting me?
Yes, I think you do not.
Okay.
You simply want to reach out to them, let them know that you're there, let them know that you're thinking about them, and that you're always available to help them, and they're welcome to your house anytime.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And the reason you say that, why shouldn't I have them understand how I'm feeling as a parent?
Because I think it burdens the child. It's never their, that's your issue. That's not their mm-hmm. issue. Okay. We just want to encourage them, you know, to come back.
Mm-hmm.
And I think a lot of parents make mistakes in that category.
Right.
And that's not really something that your lawyer is going to be helping you with.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So reach out to my child, leave a message saying, I love you. Remember last Christmas, we made hot chocolate together. Last summer, we went to the park together. Being positive and being proactive,
exactly.
and saying, I love you and I am here for you, is what you're suggesting really helps in terms of communicating with the child.
That's right.
And let's go back to the child a little bit, Jane. What are the impacts or the effects on the child in situations of parental alienation?
The children in the short term suffer the impact of stress, which is the triggering of the flight and fight response in the body, which results in the flooding of the body system with adrenaline and cortisol. This shuts down the parts of the brain that work with memory, that manage emotion, that deal with judgment, that mm-hmm. help us through social interactions and deal with learning. If you think about all those categories, those are the things we use, those are the parts of the brain we use in order to become mature and sophisticated people. If they are turned off long enough by enough stress, in other words, ongoing conflict either simply through other parental conflict or through this specific form of conflict, we see some very specific behaviors starting to exhibit in children. And there's research to support them. I can mention a couple if that would be helpful.
That would be helpful.
One of them is low self-esteem. Mm-hmm. And low self-esteem because what the children do is when they're told one of their parents is all bad, this very simplistic black and white descriptors of people, what the children do is they believe in themselves of the bad parts of the parent that is being described to them. Mm. So they take inside themselves the negative descriptions of the parent they're being estranged from. As a result of that, they can't believe in themselves as good, strong people. They also blame themselves. Whether we see it or not in the presentation of the child on the outside, children feel awful in these situations. They question themselves, they question their perceptions, they blame themselves, they feel unworthy, they feel unloved. They often feel abandoned, even though they are pushing a parent away. As a result of that, they have poor interpersonal relationships. Mm-hmm. They can become aggressive and combative with other adult or authority figures. They have poor impulse control, which is a result of the brain constantly being flooded with adrenaline and cortisol. That gets them into trouble at school. If they're old enough, it can get them into trouble with the law. They really struggle with differentiating, which is that stage that children go through as they become their own people instead of the child of the parents. And we all need to differentiate effectively to become worthy, socially involved adults. So some of the consequences can be really devastating for these children.
Right. And you started out by saying, Jane, that these were short-term effects, but as you were discussing the specifics in terms of low self-esteem, getting in trouble with the law, having, you know, issues with their own interpersonal relationships, not being able to differentiate, those are long-term devastating effects. Isn't that correct?
They are long-term and they can be lifelong if the children themselves or the young adults that they become do not address these issues within themselves. Yes, there can be lifelong consequences for the children's ability to be functional, stable adults themselves.
And so as a counselor then, when you see children who have experienced this parental alienation, high parental conflict, how do you help them? What's your advice for them? What are some strategies to help them?
What we need to help them do is to start regulating down the stress reaction. So we do a lot of work around managing stress and anxiety. We do a lot of work around recognizing and managing emotion. And as we do that, we bring the stress reaction down. We then do skills learning in the areas of conflict resolution and in interpersonal communication and relationships themselves.
So give us an example of any of those strategies, let's say managing emotions or learning conflict resolution skills. What would you tell children, have them experience?
What we do when we're learning to manage emotions, the first thing you have to do in order to manage your emotions is to be able to recognize what your emotions are. So we teach children the emotional vocabulary. Many children in these circumstances have very limited recognition of their actual feeling states. So we really work on understanding what emotions are, how you feel them, how they impact you. And then we talk about causation. And we really examine the causation of emotions and help children understand the triggers for emotional states. As we do that, we can then move into understanding how we appreciate and view conflict. Instead of it being something to fear, it becomes something that we can manage as we learn how to isolate cause of our triggers, understand what we need, and really be able to express our needs our desires and our wants in an appropriate fashion.
Right.
And as we do that step by step, we start undoing the poor impulse control, the challenges to authority, the aggressive conduct, because we teach the skills in place to undo some of those consequences.
Right. So managing your emotions and then learning effective conflict resolution skills or strategies. So both Margaret and Jane, what do you do then in terms of educating adults in general about how parental alienation, how parental conflict can affect families, children, parents in general?
When I'm working with parents who are locked in conflict, we talk about conflict instead of being unmanageable as being something we can learn to cope with in a positive way.
Mm-hmm.
We then, as Margaret talked about very effectively, some of the basic skills you can lose to try and step back from conflict. And again, what we try and do in therapy is reduce the overstimulation of the flight and flight response by doing trauma work. And you'll often see therapists saying that they do trauma work with clients. Mm-hmm. And that's what we mean. We're dealing with the overstimulated flight and flight response symptom to try and bring it down into standard regulation for our clients.
And Margaret, do you have any comments about how we can educate people in general?
I would say that they need to do a lot of extra reading on their own. I, you know, recommend things for them to read. So in terms of having them, you know, additional strategies for them, it's really important for them to have a support system in place. They need to be taking care of themselves. And many of them, you know, forget to do that. So that and all the things Jane's been talking about, and I would say really, there is a lot of information now available on the web and various books that you can read about. Just about 15 years ago, there was really not very much. So it is something that is sort of exploding onto the scene, especially as we've had, you know, more divorces as divorce laws have changed and we have no-fault divorce now in every state. So we have more divorces. We have more families living apart. And we have a lot of people that that can't put their love for their child ahead of their anger toward the other parent. So, mm-hmm. you know, just helping them cope and giving them hope to just, you know, never give up.
That's good. And never give up. We only have 2 minutes left. Go ahead, Jane.
Oh, well, one of the things I was going to say, Terry, is we try to encourage parents to be the person they want to be seen as.
Mm-hmm.
To be the best person you can.
Yeah, I like that. And because you do have to go to sleep at night. So be the best parent, the best person you can. Any last comments in the last minute that we have, Jane or Margaret?
You know, one thing that I was thinking about recently as we hear about the issues at the border with children being separated from their parents, there's no discussion there about whether or not that's bad for children. It seems to be clearly understood that we want children to be with their parents and that the psychological impact is devastating. You know, and I just hope that lawyers and judges and all the people involved in family cases, you know, understand the seriousness of this problem for children and families.
Very well said. Thank you for those comments. Well, thank you so much, Jane, Margaret, for joining me today. What a pleasure talking with both of you.
Thank you, Terry.
Thank you too, Terry.
And if you want to learn more about Jane Irvine, please go to janeirvine-ma-lpc.com. And if you want to learn more about Margaret Olnick, go to Margaret Olnick, O-L-N-E-K. .com. And listeners, personally, I have been a huge advocate and supporter for research and organizations that help parents who are experiencing alienation and parental conflict. I too know the research that Margaret and Jane have been talking about. And for the sake of our children and the caring, loving adults who are deleted from their lives. We must understand and talk more about these issues. And so if you're interested in learning more about parental alienation, go to simplyparent.org. They're also on Facebook and Twitter at simplyparent.org. As always, thanks for listening. I appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. And I'm here to help your relationships, even the one with yourself, be the best they can be. My personal website is drterrytheLoveDoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based advice that's easy to understand and include in your life. So listeners, until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.